the Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, it's 805 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 if you want to come in here. This Sheehy Giuseppe story is pretty good. I'm trying to get Zoe on. He is a punt returner from, he played at a couple of different junior colleges, and he led the nation in punt return yards and touchdowns, but he had to lie his way into a workout. And he did it by studying, by knowing who Alonzo Highsmith was. Zoe was running down in Florida. He was running some kind of workout, and he wasn't on the invited list, but he worked his way into it. And then Zoe was like, holy crap, this guy can run. And he was catching passes and doing stuff. Last night, he gets into the game, and he returns a punt for a touchdown. And the whole bench, Cleveland bench, just ran out and mobbed him in the end zone.
Yeah, why is that? Like, what's the big deal about?
Because he was able to lie. He came from a junior college, never played. I mean, and lie his way.
Just the whole story?
The whole story. Yeah. Everybody, I mean, the dude, he was sleeping outside because he had no money.
Oh, wow.
He wasn't supposed to stay that long, but they invited him to a camp. He was a huge, just like an unbelievable story. And, you know, maybe, hey, there are guys who have made, obviously, a really good living just returning kicks and punts. Yeah. I mean, there are specialists in the league, and maybe this guy can do it. And his first, you know, his first game, he returns a punt for a touchdown. And it was just because of perseverance. So what a great story. What a great story. And maybe the Texans can use him.
Speaking of stories, have you been hearing about Jakobi Meyers? He was a kid who played at NC State last year. He was an undrafted free agent. I watched him. He made a position change, and he's a wide receiver. He's not a super athlete, but he's a pretty good wide receiver as a college wide receiver. Like, he's got some toughness and some size, but I didn't think he'd be a pro receiver. I thought he was a practice squad. Maybe you keep trying to develop him. He's in New England right now, and for whatever reason, Tom Brady loves him. Now, remember, N'Keal Harry was their first-round pick at wide receiver. Right now, they say he's disappointing. This kid's getting all the catches.
Well, N'Keal Harry's had some injuries.
That's probably what it is. Yeah. But Jakobi Meyers, and in classic Patriot fashion, where it's just a bunch of randos putting on, you know, shows, because if Tom Brady decides he likes you, you're going to be great.
I don't know him. I'm going to guess he's 5'11" white guy.
No.
Okay.
No.
Never mind.
Black and good, better size than what you're used to.
Okay.
And
well, that doesn't sound like a Tom Brady.
He's been catching a ton of balls in practice, a ton. He's got some first team work at a variety of times, and then yesterday he caught 6 passes for 69 yards and 2 touchdowns. And this guy is just like, Tom Brady really likes him. So he's not only is he going to make the roster, I guess now you got to start sniffing around on him for fantasy football purposes. I don't think anyone should probably draft him, but he might end up being a waiver wire pickup, because if Tom Brady likes you, he's the kind of guy that can throw you open. Even if you don't get great separation, it doesn't matter, because Tom Brady can throw
Tom
the ball.
Brady will get
if you have good hands, he's going to give you a chance to catch it.
Well, if Tom Brady likes you, good Lord.
Now, the other story.
Now, that doesn't mean anything, though, because how many guys left Tom Brady and nothing?
Once they left Tom Brady.
Right.
But when you're with Tom Brady, that's a big deal.
No. But if he's on the waiver wire, well, that's all right. Tom Brady made him look good. That doesn't mean we're going to.
Right. But I don't think he's going to be on the waiver wire the way that they've been ranting about him every single day at practice. And then the kids catch it, you know. I just think it's an interesting story where there's another undrafted free agent, but you stick him with Tom Brady and magic can happen. Tom Brady's one of those guys who elevates.
That's just Tom Brady.
And every time that I look at quarterbacks, I always try to ask myself, can you make average receivers look better than they are? Because if you are, then you're an elite quarterback. If you're a quarterback who has to have things around you, like, he's got to have this, he's got to have this. If you're always saying that your quarterback needs this, 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 and this, he's not an elite quarterback.
Right. Well, somebody just said this a little while. That same thing. Bill O'Brien needs an all-pro at every position to win football games. I don't believe that's true.
I don't believe that's true.
I don't believe
either.
That's true. But.
But, well, let's find out.
I just hope, man, he's got such, he got weapons now. Now, we've talked about this before, and, you know, well, look at the, you know, the other side, look at the running back, look at the, he's got weapons, and, you know, we were, I was a little disappointed in Braxton Miller that he didn't do more, wasn't more innovative, maybe gave Braxton Miller a chance to throw a pass, you know, on a sweep or something, or a double pass, a lateral and throw, or something, do something that's interesting. And nothing. So he's got Deshaun Watson. He's got one of the most exciting players in the game. I'm just hoping that, you know, he opens it up for him. Like, I mean, I don't know that I've seen. I know this. Deshaun's first year, his first seven games that he played before he got hurt, I don't know that I've seen a Texans offense look better, period. Ever. Mm-hmm. That's a fact. So what the hell happened to that? Let's get back to that. I mean, maybe defenses catch up to you, and that's, you know, and that's a question about Pat Mahomes this year. Our defense is going to catch up to him, Tom. He can't possibly throw another 50 touchdown passes.
No,
this year.
But you got Tyreek Hill back.
You got Tyreek Hill, but you don't have Kareem Hunt.
You don't have Kareem Hunt, but you have Tyreek and you have Travis Kelce.
And Damian Williams.
I don't see why, honestly,
He can't throw another 50 touchdown
passes. Yes, Sammy Smith. Yes.
Sammy Watkins?
I mean, Sammy Watkins, too.
Yeah.
I really don't see why he's not going to have another big season. He may not throw 50. The question is, will he have another big season? I think the answer is yes. I don't think we're going to see a change.
Well, maybe you're right. I mean, you might be right. But I just wish something like that. I wish Bill O'Brien would look at what they do with Tyreek Hill and do some Kiki QT stuff down the field like that. And I'm not saying
Kiki QT? Who's that? That guy that's hurt yesterday again?
He's not going to be
hurt. We talk about Kiki QT stuff.
He's not going to be hurt. You don't know nothing
There's
about
no such thing as Kiki
Apparently
QT
it was
stuff.
Just, did somebody said some kind of a knee sprain thing?
Well, a doctor said
Oh, a guy who was watching from 5,000 miles away?
Oh, yeah,
But the report is a minor ankle injury.
Is that the doctor from, say, that used to be at the Chargers?
I'm not sure. Is it Chow?
C-H-A-L? Yeah, yeah. So he's pretty good at that because he used to be a trainer for like 17 years.
Well, it wasn't
years.
A knee, thanks.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. Diagnosing from TV is always tricky.
I thought it was a hamstring because he immediately grabbed like the back of, he grabbed his hand in the hamstring area.
So when we were, I was with some really great guys last night at St. Arnold. We're having a really good time, drinking beer, watching a game, just talking trash. And as soon as QT got hurt, it was just like the whole table, like, oh my God, again. This is unbelievable.
But it's so funny.
Guy.
He never got hurt at Tech.
Yes, either did Jerome Mathis. Remember when he came out and he was always hurt too? Remember that fourth rounder?
Where did he play college again?
Hampton.
Yeah, that's because he was playing against Hampton. Against Hampton.
Well, now he was real tightly wound. He was always soft tissue injuries. Last year it was soft tissue. This isn't soft tissue. This is like a legitimate injury, but you wonder. Kiki's not the biggest guy.
No, but Kiki.
So how do you handle being tackled?
Kiki was playing against Big 12 defenses, which is like playing against pro defenses.
Actually, it's like playing against Hampton, yeah.
Yeah, if we're trying to say, if we're trying to.
I'm not sure you made your good point
spectrums
there.
On one end or the other, I feel like Texas Tech is closer to Big 12, closer to Hampton defenses than the NFL defenses.
I think you're probably right. Based on last year, that's for
damn sure. I think you're disrespecting the Big 12.
Yeah, I am, but I think it's warranted.
Uh-huh. All right. 703-780-3776 is the number. Let's get Gritty, everybody. Give us a call.
So Gritty is a wholesale energy company, and what they are so good at doing is they're transparent. I have to tell you, I'm so impressed with their transparency on many, many reasons. They'll send an email with a video attached that explains when you have price spikes, why there are price spikes. When I say price spikes, it happens over a 1 or 2 hour period. Sometimes it's just 5 to 10 minutes. And what happens is there's a huge energy demand and there's a lack of like wind in certain areas where you churn the turbines to produce the energy and yada, yada. They do a better job of explaining to me. But that's just an example of how they want you to know every facet of your rates, whether they are low or whether they're high, they tell you why it's happening. Then when you go to your app, you can see your entire app. You can see what you owe or what you are paying because you pay as you go with their rates right there on the app. It tells you delivery charges, your energy usage charge, then your taxes, and then your membership fee. Now, when you text Lance to 797979, you'll get a zero the first month on your energy fee because you're not going to have a membership fee, rather, when you text Lance to 797979 for the first month. And that's a great hookup, but it's an even better hookup that you get for just $10 a month, unlimited access to the grid and energy at wholesale prices. Over the course of an entire year, the average savings is over $400. Some savings goes much, much higher depending on energy consumption, size of your house, things like that. So make sure that you can go to the website to find out more about the company if you choose, gogritty.com. But it's really as easy as texting Lance to 797979. Get your first month of membership absolutely free and start saving money with a great wholesale opportunity at Gritty.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You know, it's Young Friday's last day.
Today's Young Friday's last day?
A lot of interns are stopping because they'll enjoy another week of not interning before they have to go back to school. You didn't tell me Young Friday went to the most. Maybe the preeminent party school in all the land.
Where's that?
Arizona State.
Oh, that's right. Young Friday. He was talking about, yeah.
Young Friday goes to Arizona State.
Yeah. How about that?
His parents were like, where's Young Friday? Where did Young Friday go to high school?
Young Friday went to Kincaid.
And they let him go to Arizona State.
Wasted a Kincaid education
on
Arizona State.
They let him go to Arizona State to party?
Well, Frankie went to LSU.
Well, look who her father is. I get that.
Yeah.
And her mother has a connection.
Well, you don't know. Young Friday's dad likes to throw down a couple.
I was just saying, the Kincaid, when they're, you know, at high school when kids are graduating or they find out where they're going to school, he's going to Brown.
You know what
No. Especially at Kincaid, here's how it goes. And here's Joe Schmo, and he's going to Harvard. And here's Betty Silver, and she's going to Stanford. And here's Young Friday, Arizona State.
What? Arizona State? How did that sneak in? What the hell?
Yeah. So, we're not saying you're a total disappointment.
Frankie go to Kincaid?
Slightly.
Frankie didn't go to Kincaid.
Yeah.
They said LSU.
Yeah.
And they're like.
We were like, yeah. We were the only ones. You know, everyone's quiet and like a little.
Did anyone go like?
Go, Frankie!
Was she good in high school? Like,
yeah,
she's school
good
wise.
Yeah, she's a good student.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's a good student.
Young Friday says he went to Arizona State for the journalism program.
Whatevs.
Not the party.
Whatevs. I lived in Tempe after I got out of college. You ain't going for no journalism.
Let me tell you.
You're going for blondes.
Let me tell you what. Friday's dad is thinking like, wow, can't believe I caught one on the show with like, his dad likes to drink too. I'm just trying to drive to my work. My son's an intern, and now I got to dodge bullets from John Granato.
Okay.
The guy is drunk.
No, he's not drunk. I've had a couple of beers with him. He comes over to the next place, actually, and we have a couple of beers.
I was a little hungover, I won't lie.
No, he's not hungover. He's talking about you.
Yesterday at St. Arnold, they go, we thought John sounded like he might be a little drunk still when he started the show when he missed the first segment. Yeah. I said, it's possible.
No. It was real. Dude, I'm telling you, I got like 2 hours of sleep.
No, I believe you.
Yes. Okay. It was a celebration. My wife's birthday today. If she's on her way to work, happy birthday.
Hey, happy birthday, Wendy.
Happy birthday, Wendy. So 713-780-3.
Melanie Lawson had a tweet about your wife yesterday.
Yeah.
Getting a job.
I mean,
she's the first.
Listen.
First in Houston, not the first.
No, first at Channel 13.
Oh, first at Channel 13.
Ever is the first female news director and now the first female general manager.
And how does that make you feel?
Makes me feel great.
What if it wasn't your wife?
I hope someday she owns the station,
I know you do. You're not going to tell. I bet you don't tell her to make you a sandwich.
No, I make the sandwiches in our family. There's no question.
You're not making her salami microwave sandwich.
She actually kind of likes the salami sandwich.
Oh, you've indoctrinated her now?
Yeah.
What is this? What's this?
You don't know.
Oh,
when you were when you're doing your penance over at 790, yeah. John, when we were doing the show
delicious.
From 9 to 1, a couple shows from 9 to 1, for lunch, he would bring a sandwich. Now that sandwich would consist of Wonder Bread.
Well, not really Wonder Bread.
Well, whatever, okay. White bread. A slice of...
Whitey.
A slice of salami.
Not a slice. Five slices.
Five slices of what? Was it Oscar Mayer from the deli? Where was it? What was
Oscar
it?
Oscar Mayer.
Oscar Mayer salami.
Yeah.
And a slice of a Kraft Single.
And which is not real cheese.
It's not real cheese. They don't call it
but
cheese.
But it's Kraft tasty as all get out. Just like cheese was. It's tasty, Del.
He would,
nothing we can do about
that's
it.
That's not the topper. He would throw it in the microwave.
Yeah, for a minute. 1 minute.
For 1 minute. And that would be his lunch.
Okay.
A salami.
Well, you didn't microwave the bread,
don't forget
too,
the mustard. Yes.
You microwaved
bread?
Oh, yeah,
it was delicious.
The mustard? And,
oh, yeah, try it sometime. It's
no,
delicious.
Don't. Don't do it.
Do it. And Cheetos.
Yes, Cheetos as well.
Cheetos.
That makes sense. Did you ever put Cheetos on them?
No. Chips.
Chips on the sandwiches.
No, you can't because it's too well put together. You don't mess with a salami sandwich.
It's too well put together.
Like that.
You don't mess with a microwave salami sandwich.
No, you do not mess with that.
It's atrocious.
Yeah. It's the best.
Lance is a foodie.
He wouldn't even touch it.
No, it looks terrible.
Sean ate it.
He ate it, but
I'm sure it's fine.
Well, he'd enjoy it.
That was when Sean would eat anything, probably.
Which one?
Pendergast.
Yeah, he ate it, but he didn't like it.
Yeah, he did. He was like, this is delicious. Thank you.
Did he ever eat it again?
Well, I never brought it again.
Did he ever ask for you to
bring
it?
He didn't know the recipe.
Oh, it's very difficult.
It's too complex.
To duplicate.
Hold on a second. 9:07 p.m. Kiki Kutia is... Okay, so Lamont sent us, he screen capped something.
It's 9:07 last night.
Wait a minute, before we go though, Raheel texted in because he was a part of this. One of the other things about John's lunch, his lunch bag was a bag of Cheetos. Like he would have, he would throw his lunch in the bag of Cheetos.
Oh, like a big bag of Cheetos?
Yes. I had a big bag of Cheetos in there. And
did you carry the mustard in there,
the sandwich
too?
So you know what you didn't have was a nice lunch box at school when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah, I did. Batman.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you had a for real lunch kit? Oh, yeah. And why are you so... And you're talking about my Fitbit, and you're running around with a bag of Cheetos as
well,
your...
Well, I mean, why waste another bag when you could just put the sandwich inside the bag of Cheetos?
Oh, you're so poor.
No.
Not anymore.
You see, John, can you show him your wrist? Show him your wrist.
What?
Your wrist. Apple Watch. There's nothing on there.
No, I don't have anything. But I have an Apple Watch. I just don't use it because I'm way too fancy, okay? I don't even use the Apple.
You don't even know how many steps you've taken today, bro.
No, I don't want to know.
That's sad.
You know what? I don't want to know how many steps.
I don't
want to
live in a world where I don't know how many exact steps I've taken.
Well, yeah, I'm sure your Fitbit is inaccurate, okay?
It probably is. So Kiki QT, I guess, so Lamont sent this out there. Now, Lamont is banned, so he had to create another. Banned from Twitter, so he had to create another account. But he put this out there. He said something about 610. With Lamont, if you're listening, you can call in and explain. I'm not
why
sure
is
what
610 deleted?
I don't know.
I didn't understand that.
But he says, apparently Kiki QT tweeted this at 9:07 p.m. Y'all can say what y'all want to behind the screen, but y'all never spent a day in my shoes. Minor setback, nothing major. 3 exclamation
This is at 9:07? That was the third quarter of the game.
Yeah.
What the hell is he doing?
That's the point. If he sent that, he's tweeting in the middle of the game? Like, dude, maybe that's why it got deleted. And Lonnie Johnson apparently deleted, or he tweeted something that wasn't, that he shouldn't have after he got kicked out of practice, and he got that deleted, and then he got banned from the next practice. Remember that, John? And there's a thought that maybe his tweet that he sent out got him banned from the next practice because he was commenting on something that was internal, that was external. And I bring that up because when we come back, I want to talk about this Kenny Stills situation in Miami. Kenny Stills had a derogatory tweet about the owner. And it's not derogatory.
Critical.
A critical. That's better. Yeah. A critical tweet about the owner. And there's some layers to this.
Yeah.
And it kind of shows the issues with today's athlete in terms of their mode of communication.
And not only that, but their willingness to crush the owner, as opposed to back in the day when you wouldn't have possibly done that. 827 here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. 832 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Okay, so the story about Kenny Stills. So apparently, owner Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, Stephen Ross, is having a Trump rally. Now,
fundraiser.
A fundraiser. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Excuse me. He's having a fundraiser, which is, and Stephen Ross is one of the woke guys, right?
Yes, he had that reputation. Even when initially when Kenny Stills decided to kneel, Stephen Ross supported him.
Yeah.
In those actions, and then he has a foundation called Rise, and it's about furthering conversations about racial injustice and trying to get racial equality in the communities. And Kenny Stills is a major part of that, and that's Ross's deal. So
and
they
the Dolphins,
they're on the same page.
Dolphins have been very proactive, too. Kenny Stills is one of the reasons. I don't know if Ross is, but with police relationships, too, and getting into schools, meeting with police, trying to foster positive relationships. I'm not inaccurate there, am I, Dell? I think that's...
You are not.
Yeah, I was pretty sure that was the Dolphins. So anyway, Kenny Stills has been at the forefront of a lot of social justice stuff, but it's also more than just that. I mean, he has tried to affect change in a very positive way.
And so is Stephen Ross.
And Stephen Ross has been a part of that, too.
Yeah.
So Kenny...
He's got this
the Rise Foundation.
A nonprofit, right, mm-hmm. Mission statement. Is, you know, to help initiate equality in sports.
So Kenny Stills tweets out the hand on the chin and curious face emoji and says, "You can't have a nonprofit with this mission statement, then open your doors to Trump." And he's got a picture of the Rise Initiative statement.
Well, open your doors for $250,000.
And developer Stephen Ross, the related company.
If you've got $250,000, you can come in.
So he said that about the owner. All right, that's not. Now he didn't. I wouldn't say he crushed the owner. He did question him, obviously. That is what it is. I'm not really commenting on that. The concern that I have for Stills and really for an entire generation of players now who have access to platforms with social media is the same problem that Brian Flores, is the head coach, had. Brian Flores said he addressed Stills' tweet Wednesday calling out the owner. Flores expressed understanding and respect for Stills' pursuit to affect change for those who don't have a voice or platform to do it themselves. But he said, quote, "I asked him why he didn't just talk to the owner," because he never went and talked to Stephen Ross. He just tweeted that.
Right.
He said, "Why didn't you talk to the owner? Why didn't you talk to Steve before putting something out there?" There's something we have to do more of, more communication, more conversation if we want to make a change. I wish he would have done that, and I told him that. And
that's true.
What Still said, someone has to be brave, have enough courage to let him know he can't play both sides of this. It's something that I can look back on and say I made the right decision.
But in this non-communicative society that we live in, this is how we do it, as opposed to going and having a conversation.
And I'm not necessarily just sure it's about what the society as a whole. I think there have been lines that have been drawn. If you show any support for the current president, you may not be a racist in people's eyes, but you're supporting a racist. So if you're supporting a racist, I don't want to talk to you. That's a line that's been drawn by plenty of people. I don't know if Stills has drawn that line, particularly with the guy he knows and who has dealt with, but that is a line in the sand for most people. If you show any type of support for the president, you're supporting racism. I'm not having discourse with
here's
you about
what he said. Okay. Well, here's what he said. Maybe I shouldn't have done it on social media. He said, but if you're going to associate yourself with bad people, then people are going to know about it. I put it out there for everyone to see it.
Well, here's a problem. Here's one of the problems of that is maybe Stephen Ross, and just like I've been saying, this whole Bob McNair racist thing is beyond, and it's by people that never talked to Bob McNair in their life. They used two examples, one where he used a mixed metaphor, and the other one where he didn't like that a Republican hated that a Democrat won the election. You can talk about it being race. It might have been just, I don't want a Democrat in office. Okay, that might have been the case.
True, but
it might have been the case, though, where everybody now is assuming that he's a racist.
Well, Stephen Ross.
Maybe Stephen Ross doesn't assume that Donald Trump is a racist. Maybe you can have a different opinion than other people.
I think people, as far as the Bob McNair thing, I would agree with you, but people take issue with the fact that he went to a predominantly black, like, there was a lot of, obviously, NFL black players. He talked to the guys. He goes, well, I guess, didn't he say something like, I guess you guys are happy about this?
No, I don't think he was that self. No, he did say some of you may be happy he won, but I can tell you it's really. I think I got to be careful because I don't want to.
It's a bad day for. Listen,
and that could have been also tax based.
You know, it was what I mean? Absolutely tax based.
It's just a weird thing. Like we
make a weird. No, listen, Bob McNair's awareness. I will wholeheartedly agree. Where he's at saying that the inmates are running the prison, what the hell are you doing? And then doubling down on it later and saying, I wish I hadn't apologized. What are you doing? His awareness, I will wholeheartedly agree with.
Bob
but just
racist.
Assuming from those two events that he's a racist.
I won't call him racist. But to your point about his awareness, in a society where people jump to conclusions, when you do things like that, when you're older, white, and rich, you are setting yourself up for people to do
absolutely.
That.
Now, but let's not talk about all of the tremendous things that he did for the community.
No, people don't want to hear that. And by the way, for Roynell Young will tell you for and Jeff Van Gundy will tell you for ProVision, which is predominantly African American, 100% minority school that is raised. But we're getting off the topic of Stephen Ross for a second. My biggest problem with this is there's just a generation of athletes, and I think really it's you have to say people. It's not just athletes, but we're in a sports talk. So I had a really big problem with LeBron James subtweeting guys on his own team in Cleveland. Instead of just going, it literally is just a conversation behind closed doors with Kevin Love. Hey, dude, I got to have you playing with more determination and more effort. It doesn't take embarrassing somebody on Twitter who is a teammate. And here you have a guy who has done a lot of things for Kenny Stills and for what he wants to do in the community. And if you've got a problem, because Kenny Stills goes on and says, I want to play here. There's no beef between us. We need to get together and talk. This is just so problematic to me that you don't go talk to him and say, hey, dude, what is this? You can't play both sides. He could have said all this right to the guy's face. But here we got a whole generation of players that you're a keyboard warrior sitting there behind your keyboard. You know, they constantly say that to people on Twitter, which I'm fine with. And then you got a guy who pays you a paycheck that you've got some respect for that you're really disappointed. There's no reason. Go say it to his face. Go have a real, not in a threatening way, but have a real conversation.
But this is a non-communicative generation.
I know, and it's a big concern. But Kenny Stills is also damn near 30 also. Like, he's a grown-ass man. This isn't somebody who just started. Like,
he's
Kenny
a millennial.
Was,
that's millennial.
Kenny Stills is alive and in his full prime. You know, as a young man, I don't know about full prime, but he didn't have Twitter at one point. He didn't have Twitter at one point. He was
really
a texting generation.
Really
Kenny Stills, 27, so yeah.
27. Yeah, he was really young when there was no Twitter.
16?
Yeah. I mean, he's had it most of his life. Almost
his adult life.
Yeah, so depending on when he, depending
his
on
whole
when he
adult life
signed up or whatever. But my point is, dude, you got, that's somebody that you could actually go talk to. You don't, this is a front to show, you know, this is kind of a front to show he really is upset about this, and I get that. But he even said, I wanted to put it out there for everyone to see. Well, then I don't know that you really do want to play for the Dolphins, because you did, in a way, put your guy on blast before talking to him. You could have just gone and talked to him and still maybe said something. But I do think you owe people who you have in your circle, and the owner of a team is in the circle, obviously. You should have gone and talked to him. You should go and talk to a teammate. You should go and talk to a coach before blasting them on social media. If you have an issue and you're truly, it's a team thing and it's not a personal beef. That's a big problem for me. And Kenny Stills is just the latest example. It really bothered me when LeBron did it, because we're talking about one of the greatest that's ever played, and we hold him up on a pedestal. But that's something, man, this generation has got to start figuring out. You got to handle stuff behind closed doors. You can't do I want to wish my dude happy birthday. Text him then. Go call him. You don't have to wish everyone happy birthday on social media.
No.
It doesn't have to be that every single time. But this is a bigger deal. This is one where you got to talk. Now, it still should come up if he wants it to come
up.
That,
though, you might want everybody to know it's his birthday.
Yeah. It depends on.
I mean, that's not lighting somebody up. That's a well wish that you want everybody to know.
Yeah. Sometimes it's already out there. It's their birthday, and somebody jumps in on a string on Twitter instead of. You could also text. But yeah, that's me. That's something. That's different. But to the point about the Stephen Ross thing, I just think it goes with sports now, where if you are going to be a team guy and there's somebody who's on your quote-unquote team, unless you are completely anti-Stephen Ross now, and if that's the case, then you do have beef with them. Don't say you don't. Don't say you want to keep playing for the Dolphins. Say you want to be traded if you feel that strongly about it. Because you probably should have gone to him and said, I got a real problem with
this.
Let's
face it
now.
You've created a situation for Stephen Ross.
Oh, 100%. You did it on purpose.
You did. That was your goal.
Well,
And Jackie says, well, you can't get likes and retweets or new followers. You know, you can't build your base unless you do something like this.
Del, what do you think? Since this is your squad and your team. But just in general, what do you think?
The situation for Stephen Ross was a deal, was a issue before. Now it becomes an issue about him and Kenny Stills, what that back and forth. But I think Stephen Ross had an issue, period, because people knew before Kenny Stills tweeted it out. Kenny Stills, I don't know if I necessarily get it by the reasoning, but I wanted people to know. People who follow the Dolphins knew. Maybe it certainly became a bigger national story when he tweeted it out. But people on Miami Dolphins Twitter were like, how could you have this and then support him? So people knew. But as far as the back and forth, I don't know what happens, because if he trades Kenny Stills, when Kenny Stills has already come out and said, I want to stay, the guy voices his opinion, now he has to go. So I don't know how Stephen Ross handles it. Can you trade away a productive player
now? I don't think he trades him.
No, I don't think you can.
Yeah, you're right. You just did that because he lit you up.
Yeah, frankly, Stephen Ross, I don't even know if he would has that big of an issue with Kenny Stills. Because he's not really around the team. He hasn't been around the team very much. I think he made it to one practice, so I'm not sure what his focus is right now. How many questions will he have to answer about this?
Yeah,
he's
an NFL owner. He's created a controversy.
When? If he stays away from the team, when will he have to answer him?
Whenever he's there.
If he shows up to
it could be 2 months from now.
It'll go away.
But it's when the media sees him for the first time. Oh, it ain't going away.
Or Stephen Ross goes, I'm not answering questions.
Well, yeah, and you still.
Then it hangs over him, and then it goes away.
But he's still now labeled. He basically labeled him a racist. That's basically what he did.
Like I said before,
in today's you can't play both sides of this fence either. You could say no, he didn't. He just said that he said you can't play both sides of the fence. No, we know how
we know what he meant.
People, if you say you're not this, then we know.
I talk
other
about
sides.
The line in the sand. People right. have right. decided. Even if I don't see racism from you, if you're supporting what people consider the most famous racist in America right now, then you probably are racist.
Yep. All right. 7378037768:45. Time to get in some shape.
Men's T Clinic. Waiting for you, and it's amazing how one of the things I got to give them a lot of props for this. So I went in on a Saturday about a month ago, and there was six people in the lobby. There's a lot of guys who go in who, you know, I guess they want to make Saturday their day so they don't intermingle it with getting their testosterone treatment, which is just a quick injection and you're done. So I don't want it to make it sound like it's time consuming, because it's not. But what can be time consuming at a lot of the companies out there is the wait time that you have, the amount of time that you have to wait and wait and wait. When I saw the guy sitting there, I'm like, oh, I'm going to have a little bit of a wait here. I was out of there in about 14 minutes. And it's because they have such a great procedure and it's so efficient where they know exactly what you are there for, what your treatment is going to be. Every single time the provider is going to come in there and they find out how you're doing. Is there any kind of side effects? Are you seeing any differences with how you're feeling? They give you a quick interview on that front. If it needs to be a longer interview because you have any concerns, they do that as well. They get your vitals in there. They maintain a profile for you. And so if there's a difference in your profile, they can make changes. If everything's going great, then they get your injection and you're out of there and it's quick. And, you know, it's something that I want to make sure I tell you about because I think that is a big deal, that you can get all the benefits of the testosterone treatments without ending up spending 35, 45 minutes, an hour in there. You get in and you get out quickly and you are back to being the real you. You get back on track with the energy spike, better libido in most cases. How about your body type, where you're beginning to burn fat faster, cognitive processing accelerates and gets back to where it once was. Testosterone treatments have a ton of benefits, and you can check them out at menstclinic.com. 5 locations in Houston, menstclinic.com.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 851 ESPN 97.5. What's ironic about social media is that we have more ways and access than ever to communicate, yet it seems like there is no longer conversations, just become one big shouting match. That is so true. What doesn't help, not that one. Kenny Stills, it's called virtue signaling, the action or practice of publicly expressing opinions or sentiments intended to demonstrate one's good character or the moral correctness of one's position on a particular issue.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that.
No.
There's a lot of that going on right now, but
a lot of that. Oh, look how virtuous I am, and look how immoral that person is.
To be fair, in this case, he was like, that guy messed up. It's pretty much what he was like. Stephen Ross.
Well,
he screwed up.
But Kenny Stills has also done stuff.
He's done stuff.
Like, that's the difference. There's a lot of people on Twitter who are
warriors.
They're more talk about it, don't be about it, as opposed to being about it first. There's a lot of people who talk about it, but don't.
The problem is, so has Stephen Ross. He's been great in the community.
I don't know, honestly.
Well, and he's
I know about the new initiative.
It is kind of surprising to me, as woke as he was during the kneeling thing.
And that is Kenny Stills' beef.
Yeah.
And once again, I think that tells you that this is about, for him, it's probably about economics, but the problem is going to be with Trump. It's going to be hard to disassociate. It's going to be hard for people who are just old school Republicans who say, ooh, we like the tax benefits and we like, you know, the economic growth and all this and the numbers that we're seeing in the stock market. You can want all that. It's like Dell talked about. There's that line in the sand where but you have to take the other stuff. You get all the other stuff too. You don't just get to say, oh, this is why I support him, as I like, you know, these economic advantages that we're seeing. But well, you don't get to just this isn't just a cafeteria where you get a great. You aren't over at
Boobies. What is our great president done that anyone would have issue with?
Oh boy,
good lord! Just Mount Rushmore. There's gonna be a fifth head up there. Okay,
I feel like that's not going to happen.
I kind of feel like it is.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he's going to order it. He may even get Roosevelt out of there. Beat it, Teddy.
Which one is more like, if he had his way, which one would he deface so he could put his face on it?
No, Roosevelt.
Why?
He ain't popular enough. Or maybe Jefferson.
No, Jefferson. Well, no, I can't say it.
No, you can't say that. Hey, look quickly before you go, Lance, because we only got a couple minutes left because we're going to have Billy Corbin join us.
Oh, that's right.
Billy Corbin's right here, is here at 9 o'clock, so we got to get out on time. How long before Giants fans are calling for Daniel Jones?
You mean the ones who started crying and F-bombing up TV screens right.
But he
and
was 5 for 5
videos?
With a touchdown yesterday, so.
5 for 6, right?
No, I think he was perfect. Kyler was 5 for 6.
Oh, okay. 6 or 7 for Kyler.
6 or 7 for Kyler. 5 for 5.
Oh, they'll start calling right away. There's already about quarterback controversy and all that, but that's not going to be the case. I mean, the fans are going to. What I'm saying, it's not going to be the case they make a switch.
No.
They're not switching.
No, but. Okay, if
I'm tired of fickle ass fans who go out of their way to act like they're the biggest, they're so upset about a draft pick, a guy they've never even watched at Duke, and then all of a sudden they're back on they're on a bandwagon after a preseason game. Huh. Out of here! Stay off the bandwagon. Keep that same energy as Deshaun Watson and Kiki QT would say.
Okay, we're gonna have to cut it there with Lance dropping F bombs on fans.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't say, I said,
F out of here.
You mouthed an F bomb.
You said F out.
Yeah, I mouthed an F bomb.
You almost
That's
dropped,
the new way of cussing.
You almost dropped the K at the end. Thank you. Good night. We're
you
done.
You can say Cal
Billy
here.
Corbin up next. Don't go anywhere.
Smashing Pumpkins.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.